This is MSONewsSports.com, and we have high school hockey today on this Saturday afternoon. Hello, I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We have Peabody at Marblehead, each team with one tie on its record, and I believe Peabody has one loss. We'll get to the records in just a minute, but it should be a great game. Marblehead can clinch first place in the Northeast Conference North with a win today. This presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts, building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. The Porthole Restaurant. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity on the Lynnway. Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, serving the North Shore since 1877. Okay, there you go. There's our billboard. Those are the people who help bring you these games for free, I might add. So please frequent them and tell them, you know, that you heard all about them on MSONewsSports.com. Well, today it's Peabody at Marblehead. We'll have both coaches coming up in a rather unique interview, so I hope you'll stay tuned for that. Going over the records, Marblehead comes into this game with an overall record of 13 wins, no losses, and one tie. They have scored 69 goals and allowed 22, so we're talking 5 goals a game scoring and 1.5 allowed. In the conference, though, it's even better. They have a record of 6-0-1, the only tie, of course, coming to Peabody a few weeks ago. That 1-1 game that you heard here on January 6th from the McVan O'Keefe Skating Rink. They have scored 25 goals in the league and allowed 8. Now, the scoring is down a tad in the league, not quite 4, but the goals against is even better, just a little bit more than 1. And as we said, the only blemish on the record for Marblehead was that 1-1 tie with Peabody back on January 6th. Now, meanwhile, the Peabody Tanners, led by Coach Mark Leonard, have an overall record of 8 wins, 3 losses, and 2 ties. They've scored 41 goals and allowed only 17 in the league, though much better. In their 8 games, they have a 5-1-2 record, but they've scored 25 and allowed only 5 goals in 5, and check it, in 8 league games. Are you listening? 5 goals in 8 league games. So on paper, at least, it looks to be another defensive struggle. I'm just looking to see who beat Peabody Barnstable back on December 27 by a score of 3-1. And let's see here. They tied Winthrop at 1. They beat Lincoln Sudbury, and it was North Andover 4 and Peabody 2, their only other loss, and that was back on January 20. So both teams coming in with outstanding defensive records. Their goaltending has been great, but their defense equally as good, too, as they have some very disciplined forwards who come back and help out. Real good defensemen keeping the rebounds away from each of the nets. So we'll get to both coaches. We'll have Coach Bob Jackson coming up along with Coach Mark Leonard, and they are talking together. We got one interview, two coaches before the game, and I want you to listen in. Very informative, and from two great coaches, two great guys, that'll be coming up. Hope to be talking to later with the Salem News sports editor, Phil Stacy, who should be here soon, and also to Scott Cooper of Wicked Local, and also of the Daily Item of Lynn. Hope to have those guys up here helping out. Big one tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. Marblehead can come away with it. They can win the league with a win against Peabody right now. Peabody can hold them off a little bit longer, but I believe Marblehead has just one more league game, and that is against Lynn next week. I'm not sure if they play Saugus or not again. I think they do, but at any rate, we're about 10 minutes away from game time. The ice has been resurfaced, waiting the arrival of each of the teams. We'll take a break and come back with both coaches. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com, and this is high school hockey on MSO Radio.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, Stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, before the game, this is unique. One interview, two coaches. We're going to start with the visiting team, Peabody coach Mark Leonard, side by side with Marblehead coach Bob Jackson. And coach, this is what the fans look for. How the kids get pumped up for this or not?
Yeah, they're very pumped. I think both teams are pretty pumped. You know, we had a real good game the first time. These guys got a chance to win the league today. We want to try to make sure that doesn't happen. And two real good teams, a lot of respect between the programs. So I'm sure there'll be a big crowd here today. Yeah.
Bob Jackson, same question about Marblehead. Kids pumped up for the, again, the fans are. What does this mean to the team?
Well, if they're not pumped up, something's wrong with the coaching staff and the players themselves. But, as Mark said, we had a great game the first time. It was a good high school hockey game. You know, that's what you want to see. You know, growing up, we were just talking about this. Growing up, you go over to the Lynn Arena, you could watch five or six, you know, games, if not more, and you'd see some great high school hockey. And I hope there's a good crowd here today. It'll be good for both teams. Both teams, you know, have battled at the beginning of the season. Kind of Marblehead and Peabody were both picked to be it, so it's ironic that it's coming down today's game. This is what everyone works for, and this is the fun part. This is where it makes it, you know, kind of smile.
All right, I got to ask each of you about the other team. Both of you guys have outstanding defense records, and Mark, how do you look at the Marblehead team? You guys have played each other. It was a great game first time around. I just look at it like you got the size, they got the speed, but you each have a combination.
Yeah, I mean, I would think on paper they probably have the best offense around. That's what we have to try to do, is stop their first line with Braden Haley and Kalinowski, and, you know, they can really fly. And in this big ice, it's going to be tough for us. But I think we're known as a pretty strong defensive team. We've given up only five goals in league play this year, 16 overall in the season. So, you know, we're going to try to win with defense, timely goals, and these guys are going to try to pour it on. But their defense is pretty good, too.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I always kid around. I want to know what they're putting in the water for the defensemen over in Peabody. But Mark's got four good defensemen that have good size. They got 4 years of experience. The first time, they did a real good job of protecting the goalie and, you know, keeping our forwards out. It's going to be the team that wants it more. It's going to be the team that wants to win the little battles and do the extra things that make it count. Yeah, we have a little bit more speed, but if you're not getting to the net and you're not getting to the pucks, it doesn't matter how much speed you have. So it'll be a good battle out there. We have to make sure that we don't overlook their speed, too. They have some great speed up front, and if we get caught flat-footed, it's going to be a long day for us with giving up odd man rushes.
All right, finally, I know, you know, you guys take it one game at a time. I understand that in sports. But is this sort of a preparation for the tournament? Because this is, you know, these are two equal opponents from our fans' perspective. Mark?
Yeah, I would think so. You're going into the tournament in a few weeks, and, you know, these guys are the number one team in D2, so it's a really good measuring stick for us. You know we can play with them. We just want to, you know, try to do it again today. You know, you want to play good teams going down the stretch and, you know, get ready for the tournament.
And, Coach, you got a bunch of games left, but still, playoff atmosphere type thing.
Yeah, you know, we finished with the NEC North after Wednesday night. And so a lot of our remaining games are not against some of the tougher foes that we might see. We still have some big, big games coming up. But, yeah, Peabody's going to be a good test. I mean, you look at what they did against Barnstable down in the Christmas tournament. They played a very good Barnstable team, 3-1 with an open net, and they beat Lincoln Sudbury. So every year Lincoln Sudbury is up there. I mean, Lincoln Sudbury and Tewksbury, two other, you know, real good Division II teams are battling out, and he handled them pretty easily. So if the Peabody team that comes to play today gives it their A game, we have to give it an A-plus game.
All right, I hope you guys go a long way in the tournament and have fun today. Good luck to both of you guys.
Great, thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Peabody coach Mark Leonard and Marblehead coach Bob Jackson shaking hands.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, general manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Get you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com. The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
All right, and we continue before game time. Full house up here in the press box. I think it's going to be a full house in the stands, too. But Phil Stacey has joined us. Matt Roy is here. Where are you from, Matt? Where are you now?
Gardner News.
Gardner what?
Gardner News.
Pull the mic down. Gardner News, and you're the sports editor. Turn it around. No. Oh, you broke it. Okay. Okay.
Gardner News is the assistant news editor. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, well, Matt will get that on. Scott Cooper's going to be on the headset as well. We got four guys up here and three mics. But good to see you, Matt. What's going on? What brings you to this part of the woods?
Yeah, back here visiting for the weekend. We try to come back every once or twice a month to visit everybody. So, and I knew this game was going on this week, so I went, why not come watch two pretty darn good hockey teams that have been playing great this year?
Very good. And Scott's been covering Marblehead. Phil, you've got both teams, and I'm just looking at their record on defense. It's funny, you talked to Bob Jackson before the season started. Reminded me a little bit about like Roger Day in baseball. Well, we got nothing. We got no pitching. We got no catching. We got nothing.
Where have we heard that line before?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the defense for both teams is just terrific.
Yeah, I mean, for Marblehead, they've given up 22 goals in 14 games, and more than half of those probably came in the first four or five games when I think Ronan Cunningham was getting used to playing full-time varsity minutes, and the defense was getting used to him. So Marblehead's worked out a lot of kinks. Ronan's got four shutouts now. Team is playing very, very well. You know, Peabody, I think, is known all season. This would be a squad built on defense. Of course, you know, the five big returning defensemen back there, Dolan, January, Shaw, McCarthy, and Zach Rich. And, of course, Aaron McDonald in goal. Looking for some scoring. That's been, you know, the one thing they've been looking for all season. They got the big line that's done the bulk of that for them with Gillen centering Merriman and Brewster. But the Ethan LeBlanc line has come on lately, so they're getting some secondary scoring. And 1-1 last time these two teams played. You wonder if it'll be similar or if somebody will be able to break out a little bit and get through the neutral zone slog that we're sure to see.
We said Marblehead the last couple of games, Phil, that we've seen a little, not disorganized necessarily, but maybe a little unattentive perhaps, first and third periods, and they break out in the second period, and then they just hold on at the end.
Yeah,
but they're capable of playing a complete game.
They do. I mean, the second period's been their best one all year, 29 goals in the second period of games. And I think one thing that Bobby Jackson is looking for out of his team is, yes, they've qualified for a state tournament bid already. And, you know, there are times, I don't know if this is the right phrasing, but there are times when it seems like they can turn it on when they want to. I think his message to them is, you can't just kind of go through the ups and downs of a game and squeak out a win and then expect to do the same thing come tournament time and turn it on, basically.
And the last couple of years with Marblehead, we've seen that at times where they're this high-level hockey team, and then all of a sudden they go through a lull in the middle of the game, and they find it hard to turn the switch back on, and they've let some teams hang around in the past that they probably shouldn't have let hang around in games.
Well, I'm not accusing them of that because I have no idea what I'm looking at half the time, but I know the second period, as you've just pointed out, Phil, has been big. And they managed to, you know, to get the terrific record that they do have. The other thing that impresses me about Marblehead, Peabody, its size and its first line, of course, its defensive, you mentioned, but they've got a solid club throughout, you know, from top to bottom. But the way that Marblehead gets out of their own zone is just classic.
Well, it's speed and transition, and I think it's something that they work on every single day, like getting the puck up and out. Move it up, head man to the forwards with speed. Get it out of your zone, move it through the neutral zone with speed, get three guys breaking. It's constant motion. You don't see anybody wearing a red, white, and black sweater standing around without the puck. There's always movement, whether it's back checking, whether it's leading the rush, whether it's forechecking in the other zone. You always want to see these. You always will see these guys moving. And you're right. I mean, that's an astute observation. I don't think people always notice that away from the puck play, but you're right. There's always guys moving.
And you go back though to when they won the state title a few years ago. We watched that team a lot together. They didn't have a lot of problems getting out of their own end of the ice at all, and it was the same type of team. bang, bang, and they were up with speed. They were up the ice and going.
Right. Yeah, and as you said, you know, that's how they create, I think, a lot of times odd man rushes going the other way, because the defenseman is so mobile and able to jump up into the play, they can get three-on-ones or create three-on-twos or create two-on-ones, that type of thing.
Matt, can I ask you to lend the headset to Scott? I want to bring Scott in here and get his opinion on what's going on. I know Scott's been following Marblehead, Swampscott, religiously and diligently. Have you seen Peabody at all, Scott?
Yes, I saw them play Swampscott, and I also saw the 1-1 tie with Marblehead. I think you guys were talking about the thing about Marblehead. They have what most coaches would kill for, is they have four good lines. Their first line is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Their second line
good
is
point.
Very good. Their third line is good. And the fourth line, you really don't lose a heck of a lot with the fourth line. With most teams, like when they played Swampscott, Swampscott's got that one good line. And once Marblehead rolls out the second and third line, the other teams are in trouble. And Peabody, what I liked about when I've seen them, they never quit. They keep coming and coming and coming and put the pressure on
the other
the
night against
game.
The other night against Winthrop, McCarthy on that third line, two goals. Two of the three goals on the third line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is what they've been looking for all season, really. I mean, you know, I mean, if you look at the two teams on paper, I think Marblehead has a clear advantage, certainly in depth, particularly up front, and in speed. Peabody's strength is from the blue line back. You know, they have what I would consider to be the best goaltender in the league in Aaron McDonald, and a really top-notch defense. So it's going to be Ken Marblehead's offense penetrate the Peabody defense enough times to score more than the Tanners today.
You and I did a Beverly game recently, and a Beverly player was injured. Semperi was that, I believe?
Yeah, Luke Semperi.
And
yeah.
I talked to Coach Leonard of Peabody. He said I missed one game. So
he
that's
missed
pretty
cool. And he wanted to play that game.
He did.
And his parents and doctors were like, no, that's not happening. But yeah, that happened on a Wednesday. He wanted to play on Saturday. They held him out, but he was back on the ice Monday.
Those are hockey players,
that's
man.
That's a hockey play,
that's
yeah.
That's it.
And, you know, it's funny. You're around these guys for a long time. I mean, I've known Mark for over 20 years and feel like you know just about everything there is to know about him. And I never knew that he was squeamish at the sight of blood.
No way.
Oh, yeah. He said, oh, that was awful. So much blood. Yeah. Not a fan of the red stuff. So.
Well, and that's the other thing we should talk about the coaches, guys. As we're getting ready to start the game, Marblehead's finished its warm-ups down to our right. Peabody down to our left. We're waiting the national anthem. But both coaches, you mentioned Mark Leonard, but both coaches just terrific in this league.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate in that there are up and down the league, you know, from the north to the south, there are outstanding coaches and assistants, too. I mean, guys that give of their time and aren't in the spotlight, getting it quoted in the paper or that type thing. But, you know, it's kind of one of those it takes a village type scenarios to help these teams. But you're right. Mark, the dean of coaches in the Northeastern Conference, over 200 wins. Bobby certainly has had remarkable success in Marblehead, state title to his credit. He's coming up on 200 wins, so two of the best right here.
Well, one of the interesting things from talking to the Marblehead kids, they were very annoyed that they didn't win at Peabody because they've won at Gloucester, they've won at Winthrop, they've won up at Endicott.
Mm-hmm.
They only and they're annoyed that they didn't win that game and they've got that tie on their
record. Tough house to win in, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've
been,
you know.
I didn't realize it's such a smaller rink too. That's significant. All right, both teams have been introduced. We're awaiting the national anthem, but I don't hear any PA. Okay, so we'll get this started in a minute. So, I don't know, Peabody in their all-blue uniforms down to the left. They're slapping their sticks. So do you hear anything?
I can hear them slapping the sticks.
I hear it now.
Oh, Phil,
but it's not loud enough.
Mark had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah, Mark turned 50 yesterday. 50 years old.
You would
old,
never
Mark
think
Leonard.
That.
No.
All right, here we go. We're going to have the national anthem, and then we'll get to our hockey game. Thank you. All right, there you go. Lights are still off here. This is kind of weird. They turned the lights off at Salem State, and they have a fan blowing the flag. But now we're ready to go. Lights are back on.
Thanks. Yeah, the PA here is not great, so we're going to need eagle eyes.
We're going to have to be watching. Like,
maybe our young guy here, Rick, can help us with that.
You can open your window, too, if you can
the
hear.
The young guy?
Yeah, you're the young guy.
See if you can hear.
Never mind everything between periods.
All right, we got a lot of guys to talk about. I met the Peabody captains on Thursday, and I had to stand up on the bench to talk to a couple of them.
As,
they
Shaw,
are big boys.
Donnie Shaw, Owen Brewster,
Brewster,
well over 6
yeah.
feet. But
one's about 6'3", I think.
Yeah, 6'3", and very very articulate and polite young men off the ice.
Yes.
And I, from what I understand, great students and all headed to either school or prep school next year.
And we mentioned that comes from the top, Mark Leonard, one of the class guys out there in his pro, his teams never... All the years I've been seeing these teams play, they never really have any problems on the ice or off the ice, very rarely.
Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. All right, here we go. We're ready to go. Marblehead will be defending the goal down to our right. They'll have Ronan Cunningham in goal. And, of course, it'll be Aaron McDonald in goal down to our left as we're just about ready to go for the headers. Drew Chaffee, Braden Haley, Tim Kalinowski up front. Chris Gillen, Nick Merriman, Owen Brewster will start for the Peabody Tanners. As this is for the NEC North Championship, should Marblehead win it. Right away, the puck goes into the Marblehead end. Tracked down there by Merriman. Puts a shot to the side of the net. I think it's sticked aside by Cunningham. At center ice, hacked at by Donnie Shaw. Fires it right back into the zone. Collected by Janeshko for Marblehead on defense, but it's kept in at that right point by Shaw, one of the captains. Rolled around the boards by Chris Gillen, looking for some help. Shaw not able to keep it in, comes out to center ice, and Chaffee can't get it, but his left winger Haley does, skating a one-on-three, shoots it wide to the left.
I think that's what we've seen a lot of, too, Rick. If you saw Haley come into the zone, there were four guys back for Peabody impeding his progress to the net.
The old 1-4 defense?
Yeah.
Saw Marblehead do that against Winthrop, too, just clogged the center ice. Puck skips into the Peabody end, and it'll be collected by Aaron Dolan. Looking to get it ahead right side to Ethan LeBlanc, but can't. Goes all the way around to the other side. Patrick McCarthy gets it ahead, and it just comes out of the zone. Hacked at by Andrew McGurran, big guy for Marblehead. He's got some size.
I think we could see a physical game today because Marblehead has a bit of a chip on their shoulder at being called fast and speedy. I think they like to think they're rugged, too, and we certainly know that Peabody can throw their weight around.
I think both teams have a good combination. Marblehead has a little bit faster, their first line especially.
Yeah.
So the puck is cleared in to the Peabody end by McGurran, and the Tanners quickly bring it right back out the other way. LeBlanc fires it back in, just sort of playing tennis right now, going across the red line as the net. Out at
Ooh.
Center ice, big check at center, penalty coming up.
Gotta be careful of that retaliation, too. The penalty is on Marblehead, certainly, for that play, but
17.
You saw Cam Anderson in center ice,
yep.
Yeah, for Peabody come over and deliver a hey, what are you doing type hit that was not caught by the Zebras, so he lucked out there. But
judging by what I came through outside, the line when I came in a few minutes ago was out the door to get in here today.
All right,
for
so
this game, so
got a full house right now, a lot of people standing around the glass as well. But it's a power play for Peabody early on. Penalty coming at 1:43, and the Tanners heading toward the net, but once very quickly, Marblehead is able to clear it. Shot from center, that Kalinowski, Kalinowski with the shot from center ice, and it had to be gloved by Gillen.
Pretty good shot from 70 feet.
By McDonald, rather. Yeah, very much so. And that was labeled top right-hand corner, but McDonald just gloved it like a first baseman. Puck to the right, face-off, and everybody...
Peabody in control there.
Coming away with it, yeah. So it's behind the net.
McCarthy
by McCarthy.
Yep.
Right wing feed. Looking to get it ahead to Gillen. Gets it out. Donnie Shaw leading the attack, allowing Merriman to go after the puck. Shaw is in the crease, drops it back to the point, and it can't be kept in by Pat McCarthy.
So and that's difficult if you're trying to defend this power play because you have both Shaw and Brewster down low. Shaw, of course, normally a defenseman, but they put the big body out front to screen goaltenders. Those are two twin towers.
I would want to get in the way of him.
Peabody winding up now from their own zone. McCarthy taps it ahead to the left wing, but it's taken right back at center ice by the headers. They sort of bouncing around behind the blue lines. Once again, checked away nicely by P.J. Roy on defense.
Yeah, a couple of real nice stick checks here, not even allowing Peavy to get into the zone.
Aiden Gillis, P.J. Roy, no slouches on defense. They get it out to Haley. 7 seconds left on the penalty, and Marblehead is able to clear it. I don't think they got any shots on goal.
The only shot was the Kalinowski shot on this power play, and that was short-handed.
And that was high. Right? Yeah.
And that was a short-handed bid. Penalty is over. Play is in the Peabody end. No score. 11:41 left to go first period. Marblehead and Peabody.
Icing.
They wave off icing. It looked like icing, but puck is in the Peabody end. Intercepted. Bad turnover. Shot. And it goes wide. Braden Haley had a chance right there. Golden chance given to him. Play behind the Peabody net.
That's
Shaw fighting for the puck. Aaron Dolan, rather. He gets it ahead. Left wing side to Connor McCarron. But he loses it.
What do they say to defensemen? Never pass late over the middle.
January gets it around, and this will be icing against Peabody.
Boy, that was almost a big mistake by Peabody there. He never, the late pass over across the middle on a line change and was right on the tape of Haley.
11:07 left to go in this first period. No score.
You mentioned, too, Rick, that a Marblehead win gives them a title today. A Peabody win would put them 1 point behind Marblehead with one game left for each team. So technically, Peabody would still have a chance at the conference crown. However, that would mean Marblehead would have to lose or, at the very least, tie last place Saugus. Tough road to hoe for Peabody. But, hey, you know, they win today, and you say, no matter what happens in the standings, we beat and we tied you.
Mm-hmm. And I get a feeling if you told Mark Leonard before the year that he'd go to the last game of the conference season with a chance to win the title, he'd have taken that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, 10:55 left to go now after the faceoff puck was just cleared into the Marblehead end. And on a rebound, it was covered up by Cunningham. So the play will be to Cunningham's left. Faceoff Cam Anderson against Andrew McGurran. And McGurran slaps one of the Peabody players at center ice.
And he's going to get...
Getting sticks up high.
Hand pass.
And a whistle.
Hand pass.
So, again, no score. The faceoff will go all the way back in the Peabody end now down to our left.
Right?
What?
All right, so the faceoff will be to the...
To
the right
of
McDonald.
Trying to multitask. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
We do everything we can, right?
Play is in the corner. Right wing side, Marblehead attack zone. Shot from a bad angle. Bounces off the goalie. McDonald, he holds on.
Yeah, it was a good rebound chance there, actually. There was a shot from down in the lower circle that was followed up by, I believe, Drew Chaffee on that play and put it in short side. But McDonald was there to make the save.
Face off to his left. Chaffee wins it. No, he loses it. And it goes to right back to the Peabody defense. They get it around to Dolan, looking for McCarthy. And it's stolen by the headers, Haley. He drops it back toward the right point, but that's intercepted by the Tanners, and they'll clear the zone.
Good pace so far. Both teams up and skating.
Here comes Haley across the left wing for Marblehead into the zone. Shot along the ice. Once again, gloved by McDonald. Low side. The shot came from top of the left wing faceoff circle. Marblehead attack zone. From the Rocket Arena, I'm Rick Moore, along with all the writers up here. Phil Stacy, the sports editor of the Salem News. Matt Roy is here. Scott Cooper is up here as well. And we got four in the booth today. Through a screen, shot by the headers, Andrew McGurran, is blocked before it gets through.
I think John O'Neill knew four of us would be here. He would have put out the breakfast buffet.
That's right.
You know?
The whole gang's together again.
Just like
today.
Turnaround shot, backhander from the mid-zone right boards, goes to the circle, intercepted by Peabody. Cleared back to Janowski and his own... Danny Janeshko. I got Janeshko and Kalinowski together, and it comes out Janowski. So Janeshko gets it over to Roy, back to Janeshko, who will bring it out of the zone. And he's a converted forward, I believe?
Yeah.
Well, originally a defenseman, stepped up to play forward last year.
The other way around, okay.
Yeah, he's back in his natural position.
All right, wing-to-wing pass, man. Almost intercepted at the line.
Ooh.
But... Peabody brings it across the line, and it's a weak shot that is gloved by Cunningham.
Two Marblehead guys had a really good chance to pick that one off, Rick. That was very fortunate that that one got across ice.
And it looked like
Nolan Shaw
offside there by a stride, too. But that was
not a good play in any.
Missed?
It was Connor
badly.
Connor McCarron with the shot. 9:19 left to go in this first period, no score. Face-off to the right of Cunningham, won by the headers. And here they go, get it off the boards, bring it out, looking for a long right-wing feed to Kalinowski. He's got it, being bothered by January. Separates him from the puck, and it comes over to Owen Brewster. Big, long stride, 6'3", forward, going down that right board. Janeshko catches up with him and checks him off the play.
That's a great play by Danny Janeshko.
Haley gets it back to Kalinowski across the line. He's checked by the defensive Donnie Shaw, who's still with him behind the cage. Kalinowski centers it. Haley on the doorstep. Puck loose in front. Comes back to Janeshko, center point. Right circle, weak shot by Haley. Haley gets it right back. He's dumped by Donnie Shaw. Or check it by Tim January. And Peabody clears it. Janeshko has it back in his own zone. Gets away from the forechecking of Owen Brewster. Gets it to Haley, left wing side, top circle, shot, gloved by McDonald.
You can see the speed of that first line, Rick, with Kalinowski and Haley. They absolutely fly all over the ice. They buzz.
Yeah, and you know, I was here the other night when they played Beverly, and it was a sluggish first period for Marblehead. That is certainly not the case tonight. They've been buzzing.
Well, you know, they get it. This is something to get up for.
You know, too, I mean, we're in the last few days of January. February's coming up. I mean, a lot of seniors in this Marblehead team. I mean, the end is...
You're feeling it.
It's not, you know, imminent, but it's not that far away either.
And you want to, as they always say, you want to play your best hockey as the year goes on, and February would be a good time to start.
Gillis had a good shot that bounced in on goalie McDonald. He had to make a shortstop save, and it bounced high in the air. Left wing circle back to the point, and finally cleared out of the zone by the Tanners. Turned around very quickly, though, by McGurran. And it goes in deep. Patrick McCarthy on it for the Tanners. Getting it ahead to a forward, but there are three players on him. Uh-oh, Marblehead gets a stick up in the face. One of the players goes down heavily.
Yep. Dolan.
And we are going to get a penalty.
Yeah, I think he got it under the...
Just under the mask,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, under the mask.
15. McGurran.
So it was a Peabody player who went down,
yep.
I'm sorry. And it is McGurran who goes off. He's had a few penalties over the course of the season.
I know that is a... what's a nice way to say this? A bugaboo for the Marblehead coaching staff to keep Andrew, who's a talented player but prone to
that,
sometimes using his stick in a way that shouldn't be used.
So. Well, Dolan's okay. I think he got it in the cage, not up under the cage. So the play is to the right of Cunningham in the Marblehead end. Once again, power play for the Tanners. Turn around shot. Oh, through a screen.
It's going to be a penalty.
Bounces around.
Cross check.
Glove save by Cunningham, and it will be a penalty coming up on Peabody.
On Merriman. Cross check the guy off the faceoff.
Wow, that 4-second power play won't do you much good.
No. And it was a good call because to try to get position, Merriman kind of stuck the stick in his back. And when he went down, the referee's looking right at it. You know there's going to be a makeup call coming there, probably.
Just about halfway through the first period, no score. First penalty against Peabody. Two so far against Marblehead. Faceoff. Kalinowski fighting for it, but it is Peabody that wins the faceoff. Back to Aaron Dolan, who's back on the ice, skates between the circles in front of his goalie, bounces it off the boards, intercept by Haley, right back, dropped in the slot, score!
Kalinowski.
Beautiful play from Haley to Kalinowski from about 12 feet out. No chance for goaltender McDonald, and it's 1-0 Marblehead.
That was a great pass by Haley. Right on the tape of Kalinowski, and with you give him that much room, there's not a lot that the goalie's going to do about it.
97 career points for both players now. The goal from Timmy the senior, from Braden the junior, and they are close to that milestone, gentlemen.
Wow. So the Peabody penalty is now off the boards. Shot goes wide. I'm trying to 1, 2, 3, 4. Four on four? Okay. No, it was even strength, so
yeah.
I guess it wouldn't be. They took it off the scoreboard, but it's still 4-4 on the ice.
Yeah, they should have taken the penalty off the board because it's a 4-on-4 goal.
Tanners with it in their own zone, trying to get it out of the zone with 7 minutes even left to go in the first period. 1-0 Marblehead. Bounce Karam's off the sideboards at center, and it's going to be icing against Peabody. 40 seconds left in the penalty to McGurran.
And that was the thing that Marblehead wanted. They want that early goal, and they kind of got it right there.
Now the Tanners have their five players out there. They could stop, get the player back on the ice. So it's now it's a power play for 40 seconds for Peabody, and Coach Jackson is asking what's going on.
It shouldn't be. It should be 4-on-4 still. The goal should not have if I remember right, the goal should not have negated the penalty that Merriman took. They should have stayed even. It shouldn't be 5-on-4.
Well, that's the discussion right now with Coach Jackson.
Am I wrong there, Phil? Or?
And both officials?
No, you're right. Sorry, just tweeting out the information there. But yeah, you no.
4-on-4, it should have stayed even because it.
Tremendous crowd here at Salem State. Very nice.
And you mentioned they played in Peabody and tied 1-1. Much bigger rink here today. You would think that would have to favor Marblehead's get-up-and-go game.
Well, I have an appointment for my 6-year-old daughter's birthday party this afternoon, and I said, you know, as long as the game doesn't get stalled and it moves right along, I'll be there on time. And the discussion continues over on the Marblehead bench. I think Coach Jackson may have won his argument because now the officials are talking to the scorekeeper in the booth directly across the way.
I think they're telling him he shouldn't have taken the penalty off the board because when you're playing 4-on-4, the goal does not negate the penalty. There we go, they got it.
Well, they still have five players on the ice, though.
1, 2. Now they're going to take a body off, so now we're going to be 4-on-4. There we go.
Okay, so that's settled. It was 4-on-4. They did not have an extra skater, but Peabody tried to
sneak one by.
Get one on there, and didn't work. Janeshko bounces it off the boards into the Peabody end. Backhanded out of the zone by Tim January. Janeshko fires it back in, delayed offside. Marblehead clears the zone. January behind his cage. Up ahead to the right wing. Ethan LeBlanc. Cross to the left wing. It's Brewster. Across the line. And he's checked off the play by P.J. Roy beautifully. Brewster fighting for the puck, though. Janeshko comes over and helps out. Brings it up for Marblehead. Leading the attack with a 2-on-2. Crunched at the line by Donnie Shaw. Pass score. Haley, as Chuffey stayed with it. Haley was wide open on the left side. Once again, no chance for McDonald.
That's a great play again. Seaming up that right wing. Haley went to the far side. Didn't get the shot off clean at first, but he stayed with it and put it in.
Yeah, actually, great job by Chaffee just to hold the defenseman for as long as possible before dishing it right to left through the slot to him.
Two goals very quickly now for Marblehead. Kalinowski at 7:33. Braden Haley at 8:42. It's 2-0, just like that.
That was Kalinowski on the assist? My apologies.
I think it was Chaffee.
Yeah, I thought it was Chaffee, too.
Chaffee. Did I say Kalinowski?
No.
He had the first
goal. Maybe he had the assist,
yeah.
assist on the play?
Okay. Yeah, Chaffee did that work. He stayed with it because Janeshko was clobbered at the line. The puck just got away from him, but Chaffee picked it up and finished it off by feeding it to Haley. Peabody coming across the line, right wing side. McCarthy leading the attack. Checked away by the headers. They bring it right out. Here we go. Partial breakaway, right side. Shot saved by McCarron. Rebound in the net. Score.
No.
Nope.
And they're going to wave it off. It was knocked down, glove.
McGurran
a little too fast for me.
McGurran knocked it down, but he didn't get a stick on it before it went in the net.
Yep, and it was Piccarello with the original shot. Piccarello had that partial breakaway on the right side, and then McGurran following up, knocking it down, and then chipping it into the net, but they're saying no goal. So the faceoff is just outside the blue line of the Tanners. Everybody scrumming for the puck. It's still in their skates. Hasn't moved yet off the circle. Still there. And it comes back to the Tanners in their own zone. Patrick McCarthy. Oh, intercepted. But Marblehead player loses his stick. It comes out to center ice. And right now, Marblehead is just all over Peabody.
You get the sense, Rick, they want this to be over quick.
Headers cleared into the right wing zone. On the right wing side, rather. McCarthy fighting for the puck, coming around to the left boards. He's bumped off the play before he gets to the boards. Rather nicely by Big Donnie Shaw. And it's just cleared out to center ice. Collected by the hitter defense. Another big check at center. And bodies flying all over the place right here at center ice. Shaw comes away with it. Gets it back to January. Along his own line for the Tanners. And kind of sloppy right now.
Not at all. The predicament that Peabody wanted to find themselves in. Down to first period. Forced to chase this Marblehead team. And you do see where the bigger rink makes a difference.
Gillen chasing the puck. Centers it. Comes center point. Shot goes wide from McCarthy. Still fighting for it. Puck goes just wide with an open net. Gillen couldn't put it home for the Tanners. And Marblehead clears it to center ice. McCarthy will have to backtrack and get it. Fires it up to the right wing side to Gillen. Top of the circle. Good shot. Save. In the midsection by Cunningham.
Boy, that was one, Rick, the Peabody really could have used in a big way there.
A couple of good chances right then and there, but it was fired just wide. 4:07 left to go. First period, Marblehead, two quick goals leading this one by a pair. Face-off is won by Gillen, but he can't pick it up as he goes after it. Drops it right wing side to McCarthy. Tries to center it. Intercepted by the Marblehead defense, and they'll get it out of the zone. There's that headbanding the puck to Kalinowski. He's got Haley with him. Drops it back in the middle. Janeshko. Stick handling. Backhander. And glove by McDonald. He's bumped and pushes right back on Haley afterwards.
Now, again, we talked about what Peabody doesn't want. Peabody also didn't want 10 shots on McDonald 11 minutes into the game. They wanted to control that, keep it around 20, 22 shots of the game, but as you both have noted, Marblehead has been all over Peabody, especially with that jump in the offensive zone.
3:50 left to go in the first period.
Ah, see, they kicked my man Pick out of the faceoff zone. I don't like that.
Dropping nice. McGurran back in. McGurran's had a few of them, but it's won by the Tanners and comes around to the right side. Still back in the defense, Donnie Shaw gets it up ahead, left wing side over to Merriman. Merriman collects the pass back from Gillen, but it goes too far ahead of him into the left wing boards, cleared to the Peabody end. Goaltender has to come out, fired off the boards right side. Brewster goes back to pick it up. Penalty.
Penalty for interference behind the play on Big Donnie Shaw.
Well, that's not going to help the Peabody cause.
No, and it's imperative now for the Tanners to do whatever they need to do to keep Marblehead off the scoreboard here. I think the third goal this period, especially on the power play, would be devastating for Peabody.
So let's see if they can withstand it. Right off the faceoff, Haley with two quick shots. Second one going a little bit wide. Gets it back. Mid-zone left boards. Drops it back to the point. Left side. Roy scores.
DJ Roy
from center point, about 15 feet inside the blue line, fired it home. And it's 3-0.
I believe it was deflected on the way through. Now the referees are talking here.
All right, our special correspondent, Willie Tenney, is telling us that there's been a clock malfunction.
No goal.
And they might be waving that goal off because of the interference.
The penalty hasn't moved.
The clock never moved.
And I did see that Aaron McDonald was saying, hey, I was interfered with in the crease. I couldn't get to that puck, which, you know, makes some sense because I'm surprised that a shot like that would beat him. But.
So, we're going to say 4-on-4, 5-on-4.
1 second has been expended since the penalty was called.
And that doesn't make sense.
So it is no goal. But Marblehead is just right now all over the Tanners. So I guess it's probably a good thing to have a little bit of a timeout. Second stoppage of play for an extended time here in this first period. Faceoff will come back out to center ice.
Can we make up our mind here? Oh, they did give him the goal. Okay.
What a misconduct.
What is going on here?
I don't know. P.J. Roy had the initial shot.
So P.J. Roy is going to get the goal, and then
going into the penalty box is Aaron Dolan.
I think that's for a misconduct, says Scott.
Yeah.
So.
And the clock hasn't moved, so it's still at 11:32, 1 second after the penalty, which is crazy. And now, another timeout and another long delay.
All right, so much for that party.
They got to get with the show here, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah, this is silly.
How many games do we have into the season now? What, 12, 13?
Well, and you know what? Like, this is a certified big game in the conference. You
and
need
clock,
to have...
the clock doesn't run, and then...
So there's another discussion. Both teams are massed over at their benches with their coaches talking to them, huddle up. And, you know, the Tanners on the ice, they've got their... They're bent over with their stick on their thighs, like linemen do in football when you put your hands down and you're exhausted on defense. So a bit of a barrage here by Marblehead in this first period, leading 3-0. And apparently they're trying to get the clock fixed. So I'm going to be late for my daughter's birthday party. I'm not going to sit well with my stepdaughter, my granddaughter's birthday party.
Well, I think and this penalty, I think, is PB trying to keep running guys on and off the ice after the referee told them no more changes. And I'm guessing maybe somebody said something, but they're not going to give a misconduct in that situation very often.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So,
yeah, just the misconduct.
The minor,
doesn't count. It's just
should be off, but that should be.
It should be
gone.
Off the board. It's a seven.
That should be off the board. It's still up there.
It's a 7.5 minute penalty, but it's no power play.
But the penalty to Dahlin.
Should not be
as,
correct.
Gone.
Do we have any idea who assisted on that? I think Haley gave
the pass
from the...
Haley passed it back, I think, from the corner, and then,
Haley
and then
what?
Roy shot it. Haley back to Roy, and then Roy shot it.
So just one assist?
Yeah.
And now we see the captains from both teams talking, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
What's going on?
Well, this is MSONewsports.com, and
we
will have
this game ourselves.
Basketball and hockey coming up next week as well. Now we're ready to go, I think.
No, we're not.
So it's Kalinowski against Gillen. No, there's another official still talking up to the Tanner side. And this one is won by Kalinowski. Drops it back to Roy. I think he got the goal. And it comes over to Haley, left wing side. First line out there still for the headers.
And it's 5-4.
Stick handles across the line. Top of the circle left. Why is it 5-on-4 if they scored a goal? I'm really confused, guys.
So am I.
Puck goes in on goal, trickles in on a goaltender, Marblehead, and he hangs on. Cunningham.
All right. Scott says they gave him that sportsmanlike conduct penalty.
And a minor.
For talking to the referee, yelling at, saying something to the referee during all that confusion.
Well, he must have gotten a minor as well, because it's
so
up there in the board.
It's a minor and a misconduct.
So it's another power play for Peabody. But good scoring opportunity by Dahlin. Fires it wide, and it's not Dahlin in the penalty box. Hold on. No, that couldn't have been done. That'd be 21, not 11. I'll get it straight.
Yeah,
Janeshko.
That was Anderson.
Janeshko, left side on the power play. Gives it over to Haley, left circle. Scoots it around the boards. Kalinowski, right circle. Stick handling with it. Backhanded pass. Drops it back down low to Janeshko. Bodies fall. Back to the right point. Back to Janeshko at the dot. Fires it. Hits the crossbar off the top. Comes out to the left point. Haley has it. And it's taken away by Brewster. Owen Brewster with it with 28 seconds left in the penalty for the Tanners. Stick handling, ragging it, gets it down behind the cage to Gillen with it. This is, remember, Peabody shorthanded, but here come the headers now. Haley has it at his own line. Stick handling to center ice, going from left to right. Cuts it through, fires it left wing corner. Haley goes after it himself, knocked off the play. Kalinowski drops it to the point. Roy one-hands it back in deeper, cleared away by Patrick McCarthy. Penalty is over. They're going to wave off icing, and that will allow Ridge Driscoll to pick it up for Marblehead. 3-0. Tanners trailing this one to Marblehead with a minute 47 seconds left to go in the first period, and it's been a strange first period.
And unofficially, we get Braden Haley with a goal and two assists. I'm not sure if Kalinowski also has a goal and two assists. He might not have assisted on that last one.
Yeah, I could not hear the announcements at all. Plays at center ice right now with a minute and a half left to go in the period. Offside.
It's a great booth we're in, but you can't hear anything up here when you kind of get into the overhang here. So Scott's going to go check for us.
Cooper's going down for us? All right.
I was here last week, and I think it was Wednesday night, as a matter of fact, and you could hear everything clearly. Very strange. I could hear everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. It was weird. Anyway, we resume play with a minute 19 left to go in the Marblehead end. Driscoll scoots it around, looking to get it out of the zone. Can't. Kept in by Dolan at the left point. And intercepted by Marblehead. Gillis can't get it into the offensive zone. Still at center ice. Players collide once again. And it is Driscoll who shoots it off the boards right in front of the Peabody bench into the Tanner zone. Dolan putting the brakes on and reversing field with a 180. Brings it out to right wing side. It is onside. And Ethan LeBlanc is knocked down. And it's intercepted by Dolan. Can't get a stick on it. Terrific checking by Gillis. Here's a 2-on-1. Kalinowski to Haley. Shoots it wide. Up over the net. Another scoring threat by the headers. They keep it in. Haley can't collect the rebound. Centers it. Nobody home. Chaffee couldn't come up with it. Gillen backhands it out of the zone with 18 seconds left.
Those three are scary, Rick, when they get going.
Well, they're not only fast, but they're also quick, and they're terrific passers. Dineshko has it at his own lines. In his skates, he'll softly send it in left wing side with 2 seconds left to go. And that will take care of the first period. So after one from the Rocket Arena at Salem State, the score is Marblehead 3. And Peabody nothing. We'll be back to recap the first and have some chat in just a minute.
I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were, and her scars or how she got them has the telling.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Right after one at the Rocket Arena, it's Marblehead 3 and Peabody nothing. A lot of penalties in that first period. I'm not sure they contributed to the scoring. I think there's only one power play goal overall. But first goal came at 7:33. Tim Kalinowski from Braden Haley making it 1-0 at that point, Marblehead. And then just a little bit more than a minute later, a minute and 9 seconds later, Haley and Chofi hooked up for a goal with Haley potting it, and that came at 8:42, making it 2-0 Marblehead. Then after a penalty to Donnie Schott, 11:31, officially 1 second later, P.J. Roy scored, but the clock didn't move. So the goal is credited as a power play effort at 11:32 of that period. And at the same time, Dolan was called for a penalty, but Peabody was able to withstand that. So that's where we are after the first period, 3-0 Marblehead.
I mean, you look at it, Rick, and Peabody, it could have been a lot worse than that, too, because Marblehead had, out of those 13 shots he had, boy, a lot of them are really good chances in front of the net. They missed a couple really good ones.
Well, it's a bit of a surprise. Coach Jackson has been saying frequently this year that they let up somewhat. He hasn't said they let up, but he's mentioned they'd like to see them put a little more effort in, a little more concentration, and finish things off. And they looked determined to do that in that first period, did Marblehead, with that 3-0 goal, a lead rather. And the Tanners have had a little bit of a problem getting some scoring shots. They've had some good opportunities, but Cunningham has been outstanding as well.
I mean, they had the one really good chance when Gillen was point-blank in front of the net. If he puts that goal in at 2-0, maybe you swing the momentum a little bit back that way, but he missed the net. Marvel came right down not too long after that and scored the third goal with P.J. Roy, and you look at that scoreboard, 3-0 feels, if you're a PB, it might be like about 6 or 7-0 right now.
I remember listening to Bob Wilson back in the day covering the Boston Bruins, and he used to do some of the games by himself from time to time. I think there was one year in particular when BZ didn't pay anybody to go with him. But I do remember whenever the score was 2-0, he would always say, well, that third goal is the most important goal. That's the big one. And right now it belongs to Marblehead.
And,
so,
and how many times you look back, it is.
Scooting back upstairs and breathless, coming all the way across the ice for us, is Scott Cooper. And what's the official, Scott?
Well, the official, and this one is still with a big question mark.
Okay.
All right. Because they're having some issues down there as well. Not their fault. The first goal, Kalinowski from Haley. The second goal is Haley from Kalinowski and Janesco. And the third goal, allegedly, is P.J. Roy from Haley and Cioffi.
That makes okay. sense. The third, that does make sense.
What were the penalties? Did you get any idea what that was all about?
No. There was a lot of stuff written down, and they couldn't
make sense out of it.
Very weird. Very weird. So, Scott, what's your take on some other things? We haven't had a program. We had a hockey game on Monday night, so we didn't have a show. We haven't caught up with Swamp Scott and Marblehead Sports. What's going on?
Well, the Marblehead girls, one win closer to the state tournament. They beat Salem last night. Swampscott girls basketball qualified. The Big Blue boys basketball team, they're trying to get in under the Sullivan rule, but now they have to win 3 out of 3 against the NEC Smalls.
I got to tell you, great respect for Dave Bourne. He calls in with the scores every night, gives us a full report, yep. And it can't be easy.
They're having a very tough season.
Yeah, it's tough.
And the
but I'm sure they're playing optimistically and playing as well as they can.
Geez, the Marblehead boys, Mike talked to Mike Giardi just about every game, or the games that I'm not at. And those guys, they can't get a win, you know. The effort's there. They played the Salem team very tough. Salem team played them tight last night, but they lost too. They've got to come up with some wins soon as
mm-hmm.
well.
All right, what about anything else? I know Denise Silva called in from Lynn Classical the other night, and I believe they beat Swampscott, but they were swimming at Marblehead, at the JCC, I think she said.
The Swampscott swim team lost the other night, and the Marblehead team continues to win. They're having a fantastic season.
Of course.
Very tough to beat them.
When did they lose?
I can't think of a time they lose.
One of the quietly great programs that no one ever talks about is the one that Sue Gurdon has over at Marblehead,
yeah.
The swim team. Don't get a lot of publicity because it's not a sport that in the winter gets talked about a lot, but they win every year. It seems like they win every single season.
What's on the agenda now this week? What do you got coming up?
Well, I'm going to head over to Larson Rink, probably the coldest rink in America.
Oh,
now
God,
that they
yes.
closed in the East Boston.
You got another
rink.
One today?
Yeah, I'm going to head over to the.
That's a tough road trip, man.
Lynn Winthrop Saugus girls against the Marblehead Swampscott Hamilton Wenham Manchester Essex girls.
That's actually not a bad game, honestly, when you look at it.
Yeah, that's both teams not desperate, but. It's running out of time. They both got to get some wins if they want to qualify for the postseason.
You mentioned Lynn, one of the great stories, the Lynn Jets this season.
Yeah.
Under Joe Conlin.
And that Wednesday night, Marblehead Lynn, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be
I think it's 6:30 right here.
What a fantastic year, though, that team has had under Joe Conlin. You could see that coming for that program the last few years. Now with the goaltending and the defense finally coming together, you can see the job that they've done.
6 shutouts for Stafford. Salem, tested them early, and after that it was all Lynn, but... And I was very impressed with Salem. They're so young, but they've got a good team. They're going to be tough in a year or two.
Now, what's the story with the new football conferences? How's that going to play out?
I have no idea. You had to ask me a football question in August or July.
Well, it's weird because I was talking to the Newburyport AD last week, and we were both fantasizing about a super league. A combined Cape Ann Northeast
Conference. We've
talked about
that for how many years? It would be a perfect match.
There are so many schools that you could line up in divisions, probably have 3 leagues within the league, I would say.
And pretty good divisions in all 3.
Yeah, and very competitive.
You remember they did it in hockey a few years ago, and it turned out really, really well.
They did in football, too. It worked out all right. It was sort of a crossover in football. It wasn't complete. But some of the schools are just so small competing. And I just think of Rockport against Masconon.
Oh, God. it's men against boys, as they say.
It's not good. All right, anything else, Scott, do you want to mention? What do you got coming up next week? Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at another hockey game tomorrow. Swampscott's over at Weston Monday
tomorrow,
night.
Tomorrow, on Sunday.
Tomorrow. Shrewsbury against Marblehead tomorrow. They've got a game just about every Sunday morning, which is nice. Get over here and do that. So
hey.
We had a couple of games this week. Another hockey game, as I mentioned, and I got one tomorrow. We've got. I'm also heading up to Amesbury to see the Big Blue play Amesbury tomorrow, about 1 o'clock, I believe.
All right. We're hoping to do Newburyport.
Lots of mileage in the car this week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll take a break with 2.5 minutes left to go. Score's 3-0 after one. You heard the scoring. Scott got the assist as well. Who knows what's going on with the penalties, but we'll be back with the second period coming right up. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
We're back.
Just about ready to go as both teams have returned to the ice. 3-0 Marblehead. And the Headers can clinch the Northeast Conference North with this win.
And I was going to say, Rick, between periods, you dangle that carrot in front of Marblehead a little bit that we can win another league championship. That's all the incentive they probably needed for this game today to get up and get ready for it. Right?
Okay, nice crowd, as we said, and we are getting ready for the second period. Scott Cooper is back over in his observation chair. Matt Roy is up here with me. Phil Stacey will return. And we have 5-on-5 at the moment. I don't know how long that's going to last, but Peabody wins the faceoff, and they're able to hold on to it at center ice, finally get it into the left wing corner, Marblehead in. Merriman to Gillen. Gillen can't come up with it. Kalinowski does for Marblehead, comes out to center ice. Collected by Donnie Shaw. Soft pass off the boards, intercepted by Haley. Kalinowski can't catch up with it, goes into the Peabody end. I'm checking at the Marblehead end. P.J. Roy being bothered by Merriman, but Roy slides it ahead, and Chaffee has it coming out of the zone, flying down the right wing side, picking up speed, heading for the net. Just checked off the play by January. Chaffee gets it back. He's right in front. Shot saved. Kalinowski has it in the slot. Chaffee puts a stick on it. It goes wide. Kalinowski picks it up left wing side, drops it back to left point through a screen, shot tip, wide open net, and a score, another score for Haley with a wide open net right side off the rebound. 4-0 Marblehead.
Yeah, McConnell just couldn't get over there in time. Yeah, that was just constant pressure there.
And that's what that line does, Phil. They buzz, they move the puck so well together. All five of the guys out there, not just the forwards, the two defensemen as well.
52 seconds into the second period.
The third point for Kalinowski, and I think the fourth point for Haley so far. He's been in, I think, on every goal.
4-0, and we're just underway here in the second period. Peabody looking up now, trying to climb out of a tremendous ditch at this point. Faceoff resumes at center, and it's won by Marblehead. Sticked into the Peabody zone. Gillis slides it in. Driscoll can't keep it in at the right point, forcing Owen Piccarello to go back and chase it down, but it's Aiden Gillis gets it to Piccarello behind the goal line left side. Brings it out to center ice, and it's chipped right back in by Nolan Shaw. Shaw's a big boy too, 6'1", 190. Right wing side. McCarthy keeping it in the Marblehead end, but no pressure on goal. Comes right back out to center ice. Headers collect it. Piccarello across the line. Being hacked at. Still after the puck. Hat picks it up. Circle left. Into the boards. Left corner. And it's stolen by the Tanners out to center ice. Ridge Driscoll fires it right back in. Making Aaron Dolan handle it. Get it over to McCarthy. In his own zone. Backhanded pass behind the net. Back to Dolan. Still in the Peabody end. Flip it to the line. Kept in at the right point by the headers. Jacob Garfield. He brings it down low and takes a check. McCarthy checks a Peabody player, and it's a shot from the right point by Duncan Leggett. Weak shot, didn't make it through. Comes back out to center, and chip right back in by the headers. Still down in the Peabody end. 12:46 left to go, second period. And McCarthy is ridden off the play. Goes into the, actually out to the left point. Sliding it along, going wide, a shot from that left point. Can't see the number. That is number 4 on your program. I don't know who that is, but it's behind the cage at the moment. Two Peabody players, two Marblehead players. Who's going to come away with it? Still there, and it'll be Patrick McCarthy for Peabody, bringing it out slowly, forming up a 4-on-2, but they need a change. So he'll flip it into the left-wing corner, unattended, and both teams will change up. Headers get it out to center ice, into the Peabody end, and we have a stoppage in play.
I think the player you were wondering who that was Nick Capillo.
Okay, thank you. Number 4? Yep. Apparently we have an offside, so. Or an icing. I don't know. This is weird. It's going to be down face-off in the Peabody end to the left of the goaltender.
All right, so thank you, boys, for getting the scoring taken care
You're
of.
You're welcome.
In the first period.
We try.
It worked out good. All right, so now, wait a minute. They said Ginesco on that second assist?
Yeah,
had Shoffy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The referees gave it to Ginesco, so.
I thought it was Shoffy.
I know Kalinowski got an assist on that goal because I thought he was the one to pass it across, but such is life.
And do we know who assisted on this most recent goal?
Right across the line, Marblehead attacking once again. Kalinowski on the doorstep. Well, can't come up with it. Goes into the right wing side and cleared out to center ice. Peabody right back across the line. Shot from long range. Loose puck in front. After the save. And it's collected by the headers, but kept in by the Tanners. Got some numbers on the program here. I don't know who they are. All right. PJ Roy keeps it in, but now it's out to center, and Janeshko will come away with it for Marblehead. He's cruising along the right wing side. Drop pass, shot, and a good save along the ice. Drop pass was collected by Colin Daly. Skidded right along the ice, and the save was made by McDonald.
100, is that 100 for Haley, by the way, Phil? He said he needed 4, right?
No, he needed 5.
Okay.
So he was...
He's got 2 and 2 then, so good. Far.
Actually, no, I take that back. That was 100.
Okay.
That was 100, yeah.
So we got a little milestone tonight, today, too, so...
Who did it? Who got the 100 points?
Braden Haley.
Braden Haley.
With 2 and 2.
Okay. So where are we? It's a good shot attempted by the Marblehead team once again. And who was that? Janeshko putting the pressure on. Or actually, it was Colin Daly. Play is still in the Marblehead end as the headers are changing up. And finally, it's lugged out to center ice. Merriman has it, left wing side. Shoots it on goal, saved by Cunningham, and he'll hang on. No rebounds down on our left end. Marblehead defending the goal now to our left, and Peabody down to our right. Both teams will take this chance to change up. Official says, not you, though. Making Kalinowski go back. Face off to the right of Cunningham. Marblehead end. 10:38 left to go. Middle frame, 4-0.
And if that's point number 100 for Haley, Kalinowski would have 99 if he assisted on that play.
Cowabunga.
Pretty good 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Intercepted by Brewster. Weak shot goes wide. He was in the circle on the right side. Gillen has it. Drops it back to the right point. And McCarthy puts it. Oh, just tipped wide by Brewster as McCarthy shot it from the right point. A little pressured now by Peabody, but it's cleared out by P.J. Roy, taking it out himself. From long range, puts a shot in on goal and gloved easily by McDonald this time. Intercepted by Marblehead. Turnover saved by Peabody goaltender.
Guess who again?
And it's in the right wing corner. First line putting some pressure on for Marblehead again. Back to the left point. Janeshko can't close with it, allowing Peabody to clear the zone. Owen Webster back tracking with a 2-on-1. Shoots, and the puck is up over the net as it was
a stick save.
Yep. Yeah. By Cunningham. Good opportunity, and I don't think Brewster saw Chris Gillen on his left with a 2-on-1. 2-on-2 the other way, with Kalinowski on the right wing side, left wing shot, and this one's offside, or left handed shot, I should say.
Marblehead's still buzzing here, Phil, next to this period. They have not taken the foot off the pedal, as it was, we like to say.
No, they have not. They have kept the skate to the grindstone, I would say.
Get the radius right.
Yep.
Get all those birds
get
out.
Get that little...
All right, here we go. Back on. It is Peabody with the puck in their own zone. January has it in front of his goal. Shoots it up to the right wing side. To Gillen. Comes over on the left wing side. To Danny Prado out on the ice now. Prado sends it in deep. Nolan Shaw fighting for the puck. And it's cleared to the right side boards. Marblehead's... third line is out there with McCarthy intercepting it, but it's still kept in by January. Through a screen, right along the ice, rebound, collected by the Tanners. Where is it? It's under somebody.
Somebody's got it.
LeBlanc couldn't put it home with a number of headers in there. Four headers in there with a couple of Peabody players. 8:55 left to go. Second period, Marblehead 4, Peabody 0. Only goal in the second period, it's Braden Haley at 52 seconds. Face off in the Peabody zone to the left of Aaron McDonald. Players along the boards. 1, 2, 3, 4 players trying to hack at the puck in somebody's skates. Who comes away with it? Headers do. They fire it wide left wing corner in the Marblehead zone. And it's cleared into the netting, so we'll have a face off in the Marblehead end.
It just seems like Rick, all game long, Peavy's been a half a step behind what Marblehead's wanted to do right from the outset.
4-0. Three goals quickly for Marblehead in the first period. One here so far in the second. Face off to the right of McDonald. This one is won by Chaffee. Janeshko has it. And looking to make a play on the right wing boards. Intercepted by the Tanners. January in front. Can't get it out of his skates. And it's tipped deeper in by Donnie Shaw. Janeshko, though, gets it to Haley. Still in the Peabody end. Janeshko gets it back. Puck is up in the air. Nobody knows where it is. It goes out of the rink. So the Tanners scrapping, trying to get on the scoreboard. They have one chance, and that's what Marblehead has done so effectively all year, is clear that puck in front of, away from its own goal.
Good defensive win every... Good defense will win every game, Rick. You know, we've seen that how many years now?
I've been here a while.
Me too.
8:12 left to go. Second period. 4-0 Marblehead. Play resumes with the puck in the left wing corner. Marblehead zone. Peabody on the attack. Left point shot very weakly. And the bounce is off the goalie, but he covers up. Cunningham does. And the shot initially from the left point by Zach Rich. 5-7. One of the smaller defenders out there for the Tanners.
Well, if you're PBD now, you can't get four goals at once, obviously. You just have to get the first goal. Get a little positive momentum on your side. Chip away. They put on some decent pressure these last few shifts. Keep at that. Just work towards that right now and then see what happens from there.
Shot once again by Rich from the left point. Doesn't get through. And Haley has it. In the left wing corner, Gillis gets it over to P.J. Roy, and he's intercepted at the line by Rich, still in the Marblehead end. And here comes Marblehead now out of the zone. Gillis across the line, drop pass for Kalinowski, can't come up with it. Intercepted by Webster with a two-on-one. Right wing feed this time to Gillen. Shoots, save, rebound. Webster can't put a stick on it. The header's cleared away.
Great back check. Choppy again.
And I really would have liked to have seen Gillen take the puck in a little bit deeper there.
Haley shoots, rebound Kalinowski, goes into the left wing corner. Boy, they're all over the Peabody end.
Yeah, I think he had that two-on-one, and just, you know, he shot it from just about the dot on the far side, and he certainly had another few strides he could have come in and, you know, either feigned a pass or taken a shot.
Big check by Driscoll on Brewster, but the play is in the Peabody end, looking to make a play. Nice stick handle shot. What a save. Rebound. No good. Chris Gillen with a tremendous shot and a tremendous save by Cunningham with that glove.
Wow.
Haley bumped off the play. As Tanners are showing a little more aggressiveness, certainly here in this period now. Webster, I'll check it. It's a hauled down penalty coming up on Marblehead. There it is. As once again, LeBlanc was across the line first for Peabody, but he was hauled down from behind. First penalty of the period goes to Marblehead. And
you know,
it's against
the,
Roy.
The so-called, I don't want to use this word in a derogatory way, but the so-called weakness from Marblehead in goal, Cunningham is really... played well this
Absolutely.
Period with Peabody trying to do everything they can to manufacture a goal for themselves, putting heavy pressure on the Marblehead cage, and came up real big there. Nice save on LeBlanc in tight.
If that's their weakness, Phil, they don't have any weakness.
No.
Well, yeah, that's you know, that's what some people perceive to be. That is not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. The teams in Division North are going, if that's their weakness in goal, I think you're right, Rick, then it's not much of one right now. Because there really isn't a lot this team does wrong, Phil.
And they're up 4-0. Face-off to the left of Cunningham in the Marblehead end. With a man advantage now, penalty to Roy at 6:33. That's the other Roy, not Matt.
I wish I were out there, Rick.
Donnie Shaw gets it over in the right-wing side to Gillen, who falls down. Cleared away easily by the headers.
Does that not epitomize PBD's day so far right there?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that allows Patrick McCarthy to form it up 5-on-4 for the Tanners. He'll shoot it from long range around the boards. First man down there is Nick Merriman. He has it, looking to make a play, drops it back to the right point to Patrick McCarthy.
They got
out of the
5-on-3.
Zone.
Up the side, yep. Just the little things, Rick, as they say, right?
What's
no
the numbers?
There, right? No.
Nope, I thought it was going to be a penalty.
No, it's offside.
No,
okay.
Just offside.
The defenseman trying to put the puck in low stepped out completely out of the zone.
Only other guy in the box is David Lee, who works for
you
us.
You know him, right?
So, yeah.
Is he going to be out there?
That hair should be penalized.
All right, Peabody trying to get something now going. Webster has it, circle, right side, bad angle shot, goes off the goalie's right skate into the left wing corner. And it is Chris Gillen weaving, but losing it and cleared away by the headers. McDonald comes out of his net to leave it for Tim January, who will put the brakes on, circle the net, and bring it up ice. Right wing pass, too far ahead for Webster, goes all the way into the Marblehead end. And this is going to be an icing on Peabody, with 20 seconds left in their man advantage.
Well, I'm going to borrow a phrase that Matt said a few minutes ago that typifies the day as it's gone for Peabody. I mean, to ice the puck on the power play, down 4 goals. I mean, you just can't do that. Not at this point in the season. That's inexcusable.
Well, Marblehead shorthanded. There's a shot from the left point. Has to force McDonald to make the save. He does. Janeshko goes all the way back in front of his own net for Marblehead. Gets it out to center ice to McCarthy. Left wing side over to Rich. Scaling it toward the net. It's deflected by a defenseman and on goal. And the save is made by the goaltender. Back out to the right point. And the penalty is over as McCarthy gets it center point, and it's chipped at and cleared out to center ice by Andrew McGurran, who was just coming off the bench as the fifth man. 4:42 left to go, middle period. Marblehead up comfortably, really, 4-0.
Seems like a lot more, doesn't
it? It does, yeah.
It feels it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Rich has to go and dive and knock it away from McCarthy, but it is in the Marblehead zone. Loose puck. trickling out to center point, teed up by Roy. Through a screen, doesn't get through, cleared. This will be icing on Peabody once again.
Nice block there, actually, by Danny Prado.
Yes.
Stepped up and took one for the team. And
he's feeling it over there.
Yeah, that couldn't have tickled that big shot by P.J. Roy off a loose puck, but you saw Prado scramble out of the circle, dive into that shooting lane, and get his leg in the way.
Funny thing is, Peabody's actually played much better this period, guys. They just don't have anything to show for it.
It's missed opportunities. You know, you're right. They have played better. They've got eight shots on Ronan Cunningham, but I'm thinking about the misses or the passes that went astray.
We got a penalty coming up on
somebody.
Who? I mean, both teams have touched the puck.
Marblehead.
Wow.
Not, possession, though.
Okay.
They did touch it. But
okay.
Cross-check again. 26. 20.
All right, penalty is to McCarthy.
Yeah, Jimmy McCarthy.
At 11:04.
11:04, yep. And
if Peabody
was in David Lee, have to wear a helmet in the penalty box.
safety first.
And hide that hair?
He should be wearing ice cleats to keep his feet safe, yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, another chance for Peabody, and they are not doing much with it on offense. Oh. Goalie falls down. Everybody laughs at him, which
oh,
is... I've seen Bobby Orr do it at an All-Star game.
It happens to the best.
When he was introduced, he fell down. So,
You know what?
Yeah, he's hurt.
He's hurt, yeah. Well,
he's either hurt or he's got a gear problem.
I think it's Pat.
Yeah, the goalie is... all right, now he picks up a stick. He's okay. That was the Peabody goaltender McDonald.
I was wondering if he lost an edge the way
that
he
was weird,
down.
Yeah. At any rate, the play is in the Peabody end. They can't get out of their own zone. They've got the man advantage. All right, there's a long right-wing pass at the line by Gillen. He can't do anything with it. Goes wide looking for some help from Webster, but it's taken away by Janeshko. And he'll slap it out of the zone, in on goal from long range. And
that is McDonald. A shot on net, my friend.
Yep.
From 200 feet.
McDonald has to make the save.
That's not stop. He's got to make the save, right?
4-0 with time winding down, second period. Webster stick handling at center ice. Gets a hit, but gets it to Gillen, who loses it. Cleared to the line, not out. And this will bring McGurran out of the zone, one-on-one. Loses it as he was being dogged by Donnie Shaw. Big check on the sideboards.
It's going to be a penalty.
They get both of them? Yeah, they get both boys. That's born out of frustration there, Nick Merriman. Although, I'm not sure they caught McGurran.
They didn't get McGurran. They only got Merriman.
But.
Can't take
now
that
penalty.
Now,
you know what? Bob Jackson is in the face of Andrew McGurran, and rightfully so.
He should be. You can't do that.
You can't do that, you know. I
you're
mean,
up 4-0, fine. But.
Well, and he's also prone to taking penalties. Yeah. Let's, you know, we talked about that earlier. And, you know, Godin, and yeah, that's not good. But anyway, Marblehead on the penalty kill, on the power play, I should say, with Merriman in the box for a slash. You get all that, Rick?
I got the, what was the time of the goal? I mean the penalty?
12:36.
Goal?
12:36 of the penalty, yeah.
Thank you.
And Phil, you and I both know, it takes a lot to get Bob Jackson upset on the bench, and that's one of them right there, for good reason to get upset.
Well, you know, I mean, you're not doing your job as a coach if you're not setting an example as it happens, like as he's coming off the ice. He did the absolute right thing, got right down, got in his face, and said, we don't tolerate that. I would not be surprised if Andrew might miss a shift or two.
All right, Marblehead in the power play with a shot from the right side. Kalinowski down there with it. Looking to set it up. Crunched along the boards.
Good play by the PB defense.
And two-on-one down there was...
Yeah, that's a real nice play by Patrick
McCarthy. Patrick
McCarthy
tying it up, but Kalinowski comes away with it for Marblehead.
He must have had the puck in his skate for almost 20 seconds there.
Yep.
Good still, hit. January doing a good job on defense. He steals the puck and ice gets it out of the zone. Almost had ices it, but they're shorthanded is Peabody. Minute and a half left to go in the period. 33 seconds left to go in the penalty. Marblehead with the man advantage. And Owen Webster whips it around the boards, and it can't be kept in at the left point. Gillen going after it. P.J. Roy has it. Slides it to the middle to Janeshko. Backhands it to Haley, but he can't collect it. And Webster gets it away for Peabody and clears it with 10 seconds left in the penalty and a minute left to go in the second period. 4-0 Marblehead. Big four-goal lead. P.J. Roy at center. Webster all over the place, back-checking. Penalty killing. Penalty is over. Janeshko, first man down there, gets it to Haley. Kalinowski picks it up right-wing corner by himself, drops it back to P.J. Roy at the point, and he loses it. Puck jumps off his stick, comes out to center. Kalinowski with it, intercepted nicely by Chris Gillen. Shot from long range, pad save, right leg, goes into the corner. Webster has it, shoots it back on goal, blocked out in front, and Kalinowski comes right back in the other direction.
Ooh.
He's tripped,
no call,
allowing Donnie Shaw to bring it back the other way. Left wing feed from Merriman. He's got it. Janeshko checks him as he gets the shot off. Does Merriman crunch behind the boards? The save was made, of course, by Cunningham. Comes over to Rich at the left wing circle. Through a screen, hits the side of the net. 3 seconds left in the period. Rich again fires it wide, and that ends the second period. So after two, the score at the Rocket Arena at Salem State as is Marblehead 4 and Peabody nothing as the Headers extended their goal in that second period, their lead by one goal.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Bendruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Bendruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, this is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Salem News Sports Editor Phil Stacy. Matt Roy is out at the Garden. What's it called? The Gardener what?
Gardener News.
The Gardener News, yeah. Visiting. And, of course, Scott Roy of the the Lynn item, the daily item, and the Wicked Locals here in Swampscott and Marblehead. After two, it's 4-0 Marblehead as they increase their lead at 52 seconds of the second period with Braden Haley scoring from Tim Kalinowski. They were working the puck beautifully and open net, and almost all, I think all the goals today have been of the passing, beautiful passing, open net variety on the short side. Have been terrific goals from Marblehead. They scored in the first period at 7:33. Kalinowski and Haley combined for a 1-0 score. Haley then from, we thought it was Chofi, but Kalinowski and Janeshko get the assist at 8:42, making it 2-0. Then P.J. Roy from Chofi and Haley at 11:32. So it was 3-0 after one. And according to Phil Stacey, we've got 100 points for the career for Braden Haley, and Kalinowski, I believe, is a point shy of that?
99, yeah.
He's at 99, so really big milestones for the headers. And not trying to disrupt you from your work, but
that's okay.
Pretty impressive, though, Phil, the way scoring is so difficult now.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, even at this level, you see goals are way down.
Yeah.
You know, as it is all through hockey with the, you know, better equipment for goaltenders, better technique for goaltenders, much more of an emphasis on defense and systems and that type thing. So, yeah, when you have elite players like Braden and Tim, it's nice to see, from a fan's perspective anyway.
You know,
it's nice to see them be able to bust out offense.
I know you're just a kid, but I remember guys like Kevin Coughlin of South Boston and Mike Fiddler, Joe Fiddler of Malden Catholic, and those guys would score 30, 40, 50 goals a year.
Yeah.
I mean, those it was a different day back then, and they all became Division I college hockey players.
Yeah, I mean, those are the guys that would have been snatched up by the prep schools long ago these days. But
yeah,
back in the day when I see those scoring sheets, and I'm like, wow, somebody had 80 points in a season.
Oh, yeah.
And we have had guys over the years that have done that. I mean, if I think of some of those great Gloucester players, Daryl Sepala, Mario Orlando, Mikko Sani, Timo Makala, kids like that. The Coles brothers at Maskenomet piled up a ton of points. Sean Sullivan at Saugus had all kinds of points. Connor Irving recently in Beverly had a ton of points,
mm-hmm.
You know, close to 200 points for his career. So it can be done. It's just not very rare. I mean, last year, the leading scorer on the North Shore had 38 points.
Yeah.
Last year was not a good year for offense last year.
No, and this year, Timmy Kalinowski now is at 40 points, 40-41. Mike Johnson of Swampscott is 39, I want to say. So it's a better year, but it's still not, you know, the bountiful harvest we saw in past years.
What do you see for the tournament, Phil? I know it's still a couple of weeks away, but conference have a chance to make some noise?
Yeah, I think both in Division II and Division III. I mean, in addition to Marblehead here in Division II, Lynn Jets are playing terrific in Division I. You know, they got a bona fide goaltender. They got depth. They got speed. They play with grit. They could certainly make some waves in Division III. And you know, I wouldn't count out Peabody. You know, this will be assuming that they do not prevail today. It'll be a disappointing loss, but it doesn't mean the season's over. They're a good tournament team.
2 points, right?
That should do well, yep. And, you know, who wouldn't love another crack at Marblehead? And, you know, if you hadn't beaten them in the regular season, but you do in the tournament, what says it better than that, you
That's
know?
That's true.
So, and you can never count out Winthrop.
You know, they're always there.
Also dangerous. Swampscott, Division III, I know they've lost to Lynn twice, but they have, a very skilled first line, good goaltender in Dan Johnson. So, a lot can happen. It's fun when the local teams go deep into the tournament.
I think Gloucester could upset somebody should they make the tournament.
Yeah, as a Division II team, I think that's a fair thing to say. And they should make the tournament because they'll win the...
They're close.
I shouldn't say they'll win the NEC South. They would finish
second,
I think,
to
in
Lynn,
NEC
right?
South. So, yeah, I mean, it all depends on the draw, who you get. You know, I mean, you obviously don't want to match up with Marblehead in the first round, but there are teams that might get in. You know, they have worse records because they play in difficult leagues or they face a lot of Division I opponents, and you run into a buzzsaw there. So
we've talked about this year after year. Behind the Super 8, that Division II North tournament, year in and year out, always the toughest to win. Because legitimately, any team that gets in it, and we've seen this before with a 16 seed in Linfield get to the North Final.
Yeah.
You can any team that gets in legitimately has a chance to win it because they are all really good hockey teams.
Phil, how do you look at this new lineup with the MIAA football? I know it's not in season, but that's our biggest, as our broadcast revenue, that's our biggest season. We're actually getting ready for football as we speak. But what's going on? Is there a vote coming up? Is that coming soon?
Well, the divisions and the vote are two different issues.
Okay, I mean, you're right, yep.
The divisions are now just, you know, they look at these every few years and they check the...
enrollment?
The enrollment, the male enrollment. They figure out, you know, the multipliers with, you know, Catholic schools, the parochial schools, and they add or they subtract or, you know. So a school like Lowell High School, which has a ton of kids, isn't placed in the Division I because they're clearly not a Division I football program. They're in the appropriate division. So they just try to balance that out as well as they can. Teams do have the opportunity to appeal if they feel that's needed. But based on what I looked at, it seemed like it fit the way it should. Now, the vote obviously is a much different thing. The vote is whether to continue the playoff system as currently constituted, and that would be for 2017, not this coming fall. But, you know, there was some debate as to when the two-year trial period was up. It was just kind of rushed through again, and coaches and schools didn't have a chance to vote on it and whatnot. So that's what that vote on April 9th is. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that overturned. Question then is,
what
if you're going to overturn it, what is the new format going
to
be?
You don't, and I know Electra just don't want to go back to where we were, which was 3 games in 10 days. That's not safe for anybody.
Well, I got to tell you,
never happened.
Coach Ingram is the only guy I've heard talked to who disagrees with you guys. he didn't mind it at all. He won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. He went 13-0 three times.
You just make
the adjustments.
Well, I say it will never happen again because, you know, in recent years, very recent, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, I think the spotlight on concussions and player injuries has come to such light from the NFL on down that they just would not, from a safety point of view, risk that. I mean, as far as I know, nothing has ever happened catastrophic, but I don't think they want to chance it in that case. So that's why I would say it won't happen.
All right, well.
But it did work well for the Fishmen, no question.
It certainly did.
One of the best 4-year runs we've ever seen.
Yeah, Paul was 50-2.
Two losses and two in the same year.
And those,
I hear that's good. 50-2.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's all right.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And I had a follow up to that, but I totally lost it here as we wait for the teams to come back onto the ice. Ice is fully refreshed, resurfaced, and it's a 4-0 Marblehead lead, and they're in complete command at the moment, really, with the 15 minutes remaining. Phil, any features coming up we should look for in the paper next week?
Let's see here. Yeah. Yes. I'm writing something, if I can just, from off the top of my head, my own something I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have, you know, obviously Beanpot Monday. Local guys.
That's right. It's that time of year.
Lots of local guys
playing
Monday.
That. Yeah. I spoke with the former St. John's Prep scoring star, Sam Kirker. He's at Northeastern now. Going to have a story on him. For Monday, we'll talk to Colin Blackwell, another St. John's Prep guy for Harvard. They got the early game there. So it was Kalinowski on that assist. Thank you.
It was Kalinowski.
So that gives
and,
him.
Marblehead's own Doyle Summerby plays for BU. So we got a lot of guys
there. And I got one for you guys.
All right.
Okay.
The assistant general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers is a former student of mine.
Yeah.
And he contacted me again last week, and we'll have him on our program next month.
Really?
His name is Barry Hanrahan.
Yep.
Barry was an assistant to Phil Esposito at First down in Tampa. He was introduced to Bobby Clark. Bobby Clark hired him as a special assistant. He went and got a law degree after his bachelor's degree, and he became the assistant general manager a couple years ago for the Flyers. So it's a great story. Barry was in my Algebra 2 class at Gloucester High School.
Does he think the Flyers are going to qualify for the postseason?
Of course he does.
Of course, yeah.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
All right, play resumes.
He's
now.
He's going for PB, by the way. We're playing Robitaille now. In.
Okay. Marblehead defending the goal down to our right. Peabody on the attack. Nothing doing. Cleared out to center ice. And as Matt mentioned, Robitaille now in net for the Peabody Tanners, changing up in goal down to our left. Janeshko in the Peabody end, in the Marblehead end, rather, to Chofi right out of the zone. Left wing feed to Haley. Here he comes. Slap shot. Oh, that was labeled Same. Far side. Just went wide as Robitaille flashed out the glove and missed it. Headers wheeling in the zone. Haley again. Circle left. Heading to the net. Fires it through a screen. Bounced out backwards and it enables the Tanners to bring it out of the zone. Donnie Shaw clears it, but he ices it.
It's funny, I went down between periods, had a chance to talk to both of the coaches, and for a 4-0 game, the Peabody coaches were not yelling, they weren't screaming, they really thought they had played a good second period. Like we said, just the missed chances that they had, they could have made it a much closer game.
Coach Jackson was a little heated in the Marblehead locker room.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, he was a little, I think discipline was the word that I heard repeated over and over when I walked by.
That's Scott Cooper, the new voice in is, Phil is...
taking a break.
Working the lines here, doing his work, his job.
Got to see a bunch of interesting people, Rick, in between periods. Mark Tarmy was at the game.
How
always
is he?
Good to see him. He looks great.
Is he still going to be the AD, or?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, but he's doing okay?
I think his doctor told him to just back off a little
bit.
Take
it easy.
It's good to see him.
Well, thank you for passing on. Great guy. Just a super guy. They switch jobs, yeah. Well, we wish Mark Tarmy nothing but the best. Great guy. As is the present AD at Marblehead. So
Andrew's a very good kid.
Absolutely.
So was his dad.
Well, thank you for passing that on, Scott. That's good news. All right, play is in the Marblehead end, but it's along the boards. Nothing doing. Slapped off the boards by the headers, but still just bouncing around kind of aimlessly out to center ice. And who has the puck? Check along the right wing side. It is the second line out there. Colin Daly with it. Gets it over to McGarren back in his own zone. Over in the left point to Gillis. And they finally are able to clear it into the Peabody end, but this will be icing. Good heavens. Well, this is a weird start after that start they had in the second period.
Another of the folks I ran into, a bunch of the Lynn Jets are here scouting. Big game coming up 6:30 Wednesday. Two undefeated teams. If this score holds out.
Jay Gardner of Linfield was scouting both Marblehead and what they play, Winthrop Monday night at this game. So it has begun.
As much as you don't want to look forward too much, you have to at this point of the year because you know it's right on the horizon.
We're 2 minutes into the third period, and Peabody has the puck. Shot is blocked in the Marblehead end. Comes out to the left point to Donnie Shaw, who had the initial shot. He still has it, and he's trying to backhand it in. Can't. Cam Anderson has it, gets it back to Shaw. Right wing feed to Chris Goggin. Third line out there for the Tanners. Intercepted at the line. Now we have a whistle. Penalty? Holding. Looks like it's on Marblehead.
And what did Bob Jackson say between periods, Scott? Obviously, they didn't listen very well at time, maybe.
Legendary Salem goalie Wayne Silva makes the call over there and sends him off.
McCarthy with his second penalty of the night.
Must be a big game.
I took the temperature of some of the Peabody fans the parents that I know, and they're just very disappointed that they're not generating the offense that they're used to seeing from their team.
And there is a tremendous crowd here, a lot of people here and filling these stands. Again, it's one of those, if you don't know Rocket Arena, it's very similar to the Gloucester rink in that you have the stands on one side. And they're full, people ringing the rink by the glass. Here's a good shot, save by Cunningham. As the Tanners put, I think it was Webster put the shot on. Gillen tries to center it. Comes back to the right point. Patrick McCarthy sends it down low, looking for Gillen. Tips it, goes behind the cage. Merriman collects it. First line out there for the Tanners. Drops it back to the left point through a screen. Doesn't get through. Webster on the doorstep. Donnie Shaw firing it from the left point. Behind the cage. Gillen with it. Merriman has it. Drops it back to the left point to Gillen. Back to Merriman. Circle left. Slides it in, shot, and covered up by Cunningham. Some pushing and shoving.
Whoa! And, Danny Janeschko went flying.
Yeah, Janeschko was off balance, and he got shoved further backwards. I don't think we have any further penalties, or do we?
We're going to have butt matching. Brewster and Janeschko.
Yep.
I can say this, Rick. One guy I don't think I want to mess with in front of the net is Donnie Shaw in a scrum like that.
Right.
He's going to win.
Sure.
He's going to win.
And you guys, I heard you guys talking about Ronan Cunningham, and I think it was more of a question mark about him. You know, you get a baseball player that pitches 10 innings as a sophomore, and then he's thrown into the number one spot the next year. It's just a question mark. He didn't have a lot of playing time, but he's responded pretty well.
You got that right. Outstanding. So we have a penalty on Peabody allowing, well, check it, it's on Marblehead. And power play for the Tanners as the penalties are matching. I'm sorry, so it's 5-on-5? No, it's 5-on-4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It was matching penalties on the scrum in front.
All right, 5 seconds remaining on the penalty. I'm really confused. On the penalty to the headers. That's right, that was to McCarthy originally. And so now it's 5-on-5. Doesn't take much to confuse me.
Well, it's not 5-on-5 anymore because now we get another Marblehead penalty.
And this is to Driscoll.
Rich Driscoll for holding. I mean, that's probably the one thing I think Scott said it right, Rick, that Bob Jackson's not going to be pleased with about his team is the discipline in this game, despite being up 4-0.
It's kind of crazy, right, to be honest with you.
4:04, time of this penalty. Another delay. Another discussion.
Timeout, Marblehead.
Bobby's got his lungs ready.
I think this is one of those ones, Bill, where he's going to tell the guys, don't touch anybody. If he does, just play the game.
His head is swiveling back and forth. He is
not happy.
Pounding his fist.
Yes. The red that I see is not anything to do with the Marblehead colors.
No.
I think we call this a teachable moment.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one-sided, Rick, as they say. He's doing the teaching, and they better be doing the listening, as they, right?
4-0 Marblehead. Again, the goals, Kalinowski, Haley, and P.J. Roy in the first period, and then Haley in the second period. And Haley up over 100 points for his career.
Did Kalinowski get to 100?
No,
today?
He's at 99.
99?
99 right now. It's got to be frustrating for Bobby, just in the sense that, I mean, my God, he's got a talented team here. He knows it. They know it. They don't need to get into that stuff, and I think that's what he's trying to implore to them. Stay away from the foolish penalties, away from the puck, in the offensive zone. I mean, just not good judgment there.
Face off to the right of Cunningham. It's a 5-on-4 for Peabody, just inside 11 minutes to go in the third period. And the penalty to Driscoll came at 4:04. Donnie Shaw has to form it up in his own zone. Line pass to Farhead, icing.
Now I know Coop said he had talked to some notables out in the hallways or down in the stands between periods. I had a chance to see Tim Kalinowski's uncle. You might know him.
Yeah, we know him. I've heard of him.
Mike Lynch.
I think we've heard of him.
And Mike said something funny to me. Of course, you know, Mike is as associated with Swampscott as, you know, as anything. And he said, you know, his sister, obviously, Tara, and her family live in Marblehead. And he said, I still find it so hard, Phil, to put my hands together and clap for Marblehead. Because I love Timmy. I love Timmy. I'm so happy for him, but it's so hard for me to clap for Marblehead.
Well,
and I thought that was great. You
that's
know,
understandable.
I mean, yes. I said, well, maybe you could just rub elbows, Mike, or something.
Something.
All right, Peabody has 41 seconds left in the man advantage, and they're closing, heading to the net as Merriman goes around the cage. Bad pass, goes out to center ice. Trying to get Donnie Shaw back at the left point, but couldn't collect it, and Peabody has to retreat. McCarthy winding it up for the Tanners. Across the blue line, unattended, goes in the left wing corner. Hustling for it down on the left side is LeBlanc. Kalinowski tips it away from him. Merriman gets it back, hacks it to the left point. Merriman gets it back, drops it to the right point. Gillen tees it up. I think it was blocked by one of his own players, and it's cleared by the headers.
I think it's a good sign for Peabody that they're still driving, still pushing, still trying to work on their systems to make something happen here. They're not giving up. They're not hanging heads.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No sign of surrender. Any other cliche you can think of.
Penalty is over. McGurran clears the zone for the headers. Back at his own line, Patrick McCarthy brings it ahead. Flips it into the left wing corner. Puck bouncing around. Goes to the backboards there, and Duncan Leggett clears it, but not out of the zone. Headers still in their own zone. Leggett chasing Connor McCarron for the puck, and Leggett gets it and just gets it out of the zone. Backtracking Danny Prattle. Backhands it back in, And that allows McCarron to go in deep. And he's being chased big time by Aiden Gillis, who rides him off the puck and comes up with it. Gillis Aiden, now fighting down low on the right wing side with Cam Anderson.
Aiden's a much bigger boy than his brother Liam was.
All right, shot, blind shot goes wide from the left sideboard by Anderson.
I think he actually sticked that aside, Rick.
Yep.
Yeah. Robitaille leaves it for January behind his cage in the Peabody zone with 8 minutes left to go in the game, 4-0 Marblehead. Monday night we'll have North Shore Sports Night. We will have hockey and basketball next week, so check out the website for what will be on tap. Owen Piccarello clears it back into the Peabody end as Marblehead changes up.
Rick, I know a mutual friend of ours, always raving about the North Shore Sports Fest, Ben Goodhue.
Oh.
Loves listening to the North Shore Sports Fest.
Ben is my biggest, and I do mean that literally, fan.
Yeah.
He is a big dude and a good guy.
Yeah.
Another former student of mine.
Agreed, and yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Genuinely good person.
Absolutely, and does a great job with the strength and conditioning over at Peabody High School, as well as as well as being an assistant football coach. It's kind of hard seeing him with the Beverly black and orange on because he played for Gloucester High School, and you know, I had him as a student. Good kid. But yeah, he touts us on social media because I don't know how to do it, so he does it for us.
He's very good about getting the word out.
As are most of the, especially Jim Coffey over there. Boy, he gets the word out. Twitter, Facebook, everything about Beverly Athletics. All right, here comes the Tanners across their own line, backing up toward their own goal, and taken by Kalinowski, centering pass, and shot, a weak shot put on, and it is a save.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the only second Marblehead shot on goal this period. So it's been playing with the lead, so to speak. I know they've had to kill a couple penalties, but...
Who's 18 for Marblehead? I completely lost my my way.
Paul Duffy, freshman forward, fourth liner.
He was the guy making a play out there.
Nice to get a shift with Kalinowski and Haley.
Yeah, I think they'd really like to get him that 100th point today, if at all possible.
6.5 minutes left to go in the game. Tanners clear it. It's not going to be icing because the first man down there is Dillon. A lot of shift time for the first line. Centering pass intercepted by the headers. They'll bring it out of the zone.
Now, this is the first shift we've seen from McGurran in a while, so I wonder if a little talking to.
McGurran heavily into the boards behind the cage, throwing his weight around. Still comes over to Colin Daly. Sends it around. Intercepted by the defense, McCarthy. Or actually, it's Brewster back there in defense. Intercepted the other way by the headers. And a shot by Driscoll.
Another penalty.
Yep, and we have a penalty coming up.
Roughing.
You'll get to that birthday party by the time they're cleaning up the cake plates, I think.
Oh, I'm in so much trouble. You know? I am in so much trouble. Who went off?
It's on Peabody.
That was a Tanner to go into the box. I want to say that was...
12.
McCarron.
Yep, Connor McCarron.
Was it?
Yep.
9:03.
I thought I saw a 14 in there, but okay.
All right, so penalty on the Tanners. Marblehead in the power play. 5:47 left to go in the game. Headers up comfortably 4-0. I am going to wrap this up quickly when the game is over, because I do have to get out of here. Chuffy leading the attack, goes down low, circles the cage. Still with it, coming back to the point. Leaves it for the right point, P.J. Roy. Heads down low. Who is that down there? Is that Janeshko? Drop hit, drop pass, back to Roy. Trying to get it back to the center point. Haley covering up at the right point. Backhands it around the net. Kalinowski with it. 49 seconds left in the man advantage. Chaffee over to the right point. To Roy. With it. Through a screen. Save into the midsection of Robitaille. Nice hand by the Tanner faithful. With a save by the
Freddie
relief goal to him.
Four saves for Fab Five Freddie in net there.
Oh, jeez.
39 seconds left in the penalty. Oh, and it was overskated by Daly. He had a chance to put it on. Shorthanded bid coming the other way as Nolan
Shaw.
Oh,
that could have been a hit from behind.
Yeah.
Big check into the boards. Marblehead, 3-on-3. Drop pass. Follow-up shot. Save somewhere into the under the pads.
Under the mattress there. Yep. Somewhere in there.
So second line on the power play for Marblehead. Now they'll change up once again with 19 seconds left. And they'll bring out some more numbers.
I strongly suspect you won't see the first line from Marblehead much anymore in this game.
Oops. From the point. Leggett shot.
Save.
Rebound. Cleared out to the left point. Fired wide, and Robitaille comes out of the net and hangs on. Jacob Woodrow is out there. Paul Duffy, Chris Partham. And they'll change up quickly. But they did have a good chance out there as the fourth line for Marblehead.
With a win today, Marblehead will win the Northeastern Conference North. 9-0-1 in league play, 14-0-1 overall. Still seven games to play for Marblehead, too. They play 22 regular season games.
Nice block. Up tight by Rich. And Peabody clears the zone finally. Shaw is tripped up, goes down really heavily.
Got another penalty.
And there's some more bodies flying at center ice. I don't know who this is going to be on. Could be on a number of people.
This is going to be holding.
We know Silva's got a hold on somebody. And I don't mean that in the physical sense. I mean that...
He could.
Yeah.
And it's on...
Is it Haley they're talking to?
Haley? Well, Bob Jackson's getting the talking to, but...
I think, yeah, they're calling Braden Haley for a hold, I believe.
Well, Aaron McDonald's in the penalty box, but I don't think he got the penalty.
Yep, Braden Haley.
Yep, Haley from Marblehead.
Haley with a hold.
11:43. 11:43, sorry.
And you look at it, Marblehead's been giving PBD every chance in the world to get back in this game with the penalties, and PBD just has not been able to take advantage of it.
No, they really haven't.
4:17 left to go in the game. Comfortably in hand for Marblehead. Face off to the right of Cunningham.
4:17 away from fifth shutout for Ronan Cunningham. This
terrific season for the Headers. Yeah. Absolutely terrific. And they made a statement here today, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. The message has been sent loud and clear to everybody in Division 2 North today.
You could just say Division 2, really.
Yeah, the entire, it's true.
Peabody a man up trying to get a goal. Merriman sends it low to Webster. Back to Merriman. Shot bounces off a defenseman. Comes back to the point. Slides it in for Merriman. Fighting for the puck on the right wing side. Goes goal line extended behind the goal. Backhanded pass to Webster. Circle left. Circle right, rather. Centering pass. And the shot goes wide off of Shaw's stick. Back to the left point. Merriman down low. Shaw closing. Intercepted by the Headers and cleared. 47 seconds left to go in the penalty. 3.5 left to go in the game.
Both teams have done a nice job blocking shots today, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Shaw trying to form it up. And he's checked nicely by McGurran. Keeping it in the zone. In the Peabody end. Shaw tries to form it up again. Gets it to Shaw back to, or rather on the left side. And gets it right back. Webster has it at center. Shaw to McCarthy. And it's stolen by Aiden Gillis. Clears it back into the Peabody end. Clock just kind of ticking away slowly here. And Peabody just trying to get a little bit organized to get something on goal. Header's not allowing, though. Two men crunch Gillen. And, of course, separate him from the puck. And it'll be an offside or an icing.
Icing. That would be icing, yeah.
Because the penalty is over. And this game is almost over. 2:43 left to go. 4-0. Three goals for Marblehead in the first. One in the second. No scoring here in the third.
We see how good Marblehead's played, but I still think, Bill and Rick, that come March, I don't think you're going to want to play PB in the state tournament either, because when they play well, and they've played well in spurts at this game tonight, they're going to be a pretty tough team to beat as well.
Absolutely. Tanner's trying to put some pressure on. Haley has it. Slides it up ahead. Intercepted at center ice by January. Hard shot in on goal. Cunningham makes the save. That was from center ice. Cleared away by Marblehead. No icing. January first man back. Look out. Haley lines him up. Lines him up, and January avoids the check. Gets the puck to center ice. Nobody controlling it, though. January has it back again. Up to Nolan Shaw, who loses it. Kalinowski has it for Marblehead. Haley falls down. Kalinowski goes to the net, backhanded. Cleared away. The rebound cleared away very nicely by Nolan Shaw. January with it at center ice. Minute 52 seconds left to go. Again, he shoots it from long range, and again, Cunningham forced to make a save. Shaw can't come up with it as the headers clear the zone. Colin Daly off the boards from center ice. They don't call icing, and they allow play to continue. Cam Anderson out of the zone for the Tanners. Shoots it in to the Marblehead end. Picked up by McCarthy. Gets it ahead to Piccarello on the right wing side. Shot saved. Rebound goes wide as Daly had the shot. Daly, another shot from a bad angle. Goes to the boards right side with a minute left. Intercepted at the line. Cleared back into the Peabody end. 1:02 left to go in the game. Tanners trailing 4-0. Marblehead will win the Northeastern Conference North, a.k.a. the Large, in Division Two, and they will do it with an unbeaten record. One tie, that was the 1-1 game to Peabody a few weeks ago.
Should be a good game when Lynn comes here next week.
Lynn Jets?
Provided the Jets are still unbeaten, yeah?
Yeah, Lynn Jets and Marblehead, that's Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
Right here at the Rocket Arena.
Well, they play Latin Academy tonight, so I would think they should be undefeated when they get here on Wednesday night.
6:30 at the Rock.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, they're still hitting each other there. I'm telling you, bodies flying all over the place as Marblehead attacks the zone, trying to get something going.
Ooh.
More bodies flying. 15 seconds left to go in the game. Gillis throwing his weight around. Cam Anderson clears it out of the zone with 4 seconds left. Packed right back in, and that's it. Final score, 4-0 Marblehead. Gentlemen, quick thoughts. I want to wrap it up.
Well, you know, dominant from, I don't know if I'd say start to finish, because this game was essentially over, I think, after the first period. But Marblehead came out and flexed its muscles early, did what they had to do, and then played great defense the rest of the way and held the Tanners off the board. So congratulations to Marblehead on winning conference title.
I mean, Phil said it best, in Division II, that's a team I don't want to play come March, because when they play like this, this is how they played when they won a state title a few years ago. No one could touch them in Division III, and they're looking like they're roughly a pretty good threat in Division II as well.
All right, men, thank you very much. Phil Stacy, Salem News Sports Editor, appreciate it. Scott Cooper, thank you very much. Matt, thank you, guys. See you here soon, I'm sure. All right, final score. Let me just give you the goal scorers once again quickly. Kalinowski for Marblehead at 7:33 of the first. Haley at 8:42 of the first, who had the assist on the first goal, picks up the second goal. Kalinowski, Janeshko, the assists. P.J. Roy at 11:32, 3-0 Marblehead. Chofi and Haley, the assist. That was a power play. Fourth goal of the night, Haley at 52 seconds. Kalinowski, the assist. And for Haley, he has 100 points in his career, according to Phil Stacy, and 99 points for Kalinowski. So that'll do it. I got to get out of here. Final score from the Rocket Arena at Salem State University is the Marblehead headers 4 and the Peabody Tanners 0. This is MSONewsSports.com. Thank you for being with us.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.